Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry, I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. Elijah said to the widow, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." The story about Elijah and the widow has always caused me to deeply think about what God is trying to teach us who believe, trust, and follow, and teach those who do not have any hope. Daily we hear about extreme weather conditions. Just this week there's been flooding in Texas, Germany, France, and Belgium. On April 16th, an earthquake violently shook Ecuador, killing over 650 people. And Ethiopia struggles with its worst drought in 50 years, which is causing a huge humanitarian crisis as 18 million people need some form of aid. Concerning Ethiopia's drought, the Telegraph reported, "Every morning, Aisha Noor rises at dawn to spend several hours gathering dry twigs from the scrubland around her home. By selling them each week at the local market, she can earn just enough to buy sweet black tea to supplement her children's daily bread ration. And that in turn may be just enough to keep them alive." Aisha's toddler, Hawa, was diagnosed with severe acute malnutrition last weekend. At a mobile health clinic in dusty scrubland near the town of Erer, she clung listlessly to her mother and sucked at a sachet of life-giving, vitamin-fortified peanut paste. The family's cattle died in the drought, and with her husband bedridden and disabled, she is the only bulwark. "To the last minute, I will try my best. Even if I am sick, my condition gets worse. I will try my best for my family," she said, fighting back tears. Aisha's desperate need for something, for anything to sustain the life of her children, her disabled husband, and herself is reminiscent of what the widow and her son experienced as the drought they were experiencing worsened. Famine became a way of life. People with financial means left the area, leaving the poor, the sick, and the widows and the orphans to fend for themselves, with no possibility of any help coming from anyone or anywhere. They were living during hopeless times, holding tightly onto anything that would allow them to live just one more day. And yet, this widow, as death slowly sucked the life from her day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, still found it possible to be hospitable to an arrogant, demanding foreigner. If we were in the same situation as she was when a stranger demanded water and food without even saying please, would we be hospitable and give the stranger some water and a portion of our only food? I would love to say yes, I would be that hospitable. But I will probably never find out. Because you and I, we live in America, the land of plenty. But that could change should there be too many years of severe weather. We become embroiled in a world at war. or our economy once again collapses. And should one or more of those things happen, hopefully, we would remember what the prophet Elijah said, "Do not be afraid." And we would do as the widow did, show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, we might be entertaining angels or Jesus Christ himself without even knowing it. Hospitality is broadly defined as a warm, friendly, generous reception and treatment of guests or strangers. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 32 to 33, Jesus informs us that hospitality is not about being warm, friendly, and generous to only those we like. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? What credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Jesus' saying makes a little more sense when we understand what hospitality meant at that time. The Greek word philoxenos, often translated into hospitality, is the combination of two concepts into one word. The first concept is phileo, meaning brotherly love, or to love like a brother, which is where the city of Philadelphia gets its name, the city of brotherly love. The second concept is xenos, which actually means stranger or immigrant. And this is where we get the word xenophobia, the fear of strangers or immigrants. Therefore, hospitality is the love of strangers. Loving people we do not know, and as followers of Christ, hospitality is all about connecting people to the community of faith in a deep and meaningful way so they can come to know the same life-giving grace we received when Jesus Christ was hospitable to us and lovingly welcomed us as strangers into his family. Because Jesus loves us as strangers, even when we were far away, he teaches us that hospitality doesn't begin when the stranger knocks at the door or calls out, "Bring me some water." Hospitality begins when we nurture it in our hearts so that it becomes a part of our very being. And we know that no matter how scarce our resources are, God's provision will always be enough. Therefore, we do not need to be afraid. We only need to be faithful. And when we are faithful, God will be faithful as well. God will be faithful as well. We will always have enough, which is the promise we see in the story of Elijah and the widow. Many of us have experienced this in our own lives. I know Janet and I have. When the girls were little, especially when we were in seminary, we gave of our time, talent, and treasure to the Lord, even though sometimes we really could have used some of our treasure for ourselves. But through it all, we discovered that God is always faithful when we are faithful, and that we always had enough for our needs. We always had enough for our needs. And sometimes, we even had enough left over for our wants. The widow could have been selfish, inhospitable, and let Elijah die of thirst and starvation. But she chose to be hospitable and give of what little she had, which caused Elijah, the widow, and her son to eat for many, many days. Hospitality is all about giving from what we have been given in order to make someone other than ourselves less afraid in our dark, scary, and unpredictable world. Thomas G. Long, in his book, Beyond the Worship Wars, Building Vital and Faithful Worship, tells us why all churches, including St. Matthias, are called to love the stranger. We show hospitality to strangers, not merely because they need it, but because we need it too. The stranger at the door is the living symbol and memory that we are all strangers here. This is not our house, our table, our food, our lodging. This is God's house and God's table and God's food and God's lodging. We were pilgrims and wanderers, aliens and strangers, even enemies of God. But we too were welcomed into this place. To show hospitality to the stranger is, as Gordon Lathrop has observed, to say, we are beggars here. We are beggars here. Grace will surprise us both. Grace will surprise us both. How can you and I be like the widow and open our lives to be more hospitable, more faithful, and more full of grace, so that the stranger, the guest, or the outcast in our midst can experience with us God's provision, God's love, and God's grace? Let us pray. O God, who is not impressed with busyness or excuses, please help us to respond to your call on our lives. Because we do not always know whom you have told that you or that I will be coming to care for them. Make us aware that they may be waiting on us, on you, or on me. Amen.